Now, don't forget, for you Coast Insiders, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time, we'll have our chat. Brand new system, too. You'll really like it. We've had it up there for a couple of weeks now, and it's doing very, very well. So we'll be back with phone calls now and William Henry on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, William Henry with us, and the final segment here with your phone calls as well. William, with everything that you've studied over the last, let's say, 5 years, is there one area that still is very perplexing for you?
Well, there is, and I just, it has to do with this Jesus star child business I was describing a moment ago. I mean, it's about this transformation, this light body effect of how we can turn ourselves into light beings, and the possibility that there's this race of beings, these extraterrestrial light beings who have accomplished this ultimate human transformation and exist out there. I mean, I was just during the break, I was reading on my website a sentence from the book He Walked the Americas, which describes the appearance of what is a prophet called the Pale One, who many think of as Jesus, in America after the resurrection. And in Seneca tales, and he appeared in Cahokia, Illinois, and it said, "Then a fire lit up the east sky where cloud banks had been piled up, and everyone turned in wonder as consternation hushed the chanting. Suddenly, he was there among them, like a creature from another planet, shining with a strange radiance, each hair on his head luminescent, a weird glow rippling from his garments, and his sea eyes flashing with lightning. He stood staring at the Pawnee people." We're talking about a light being here. We're talking about a human who has shown us how to turn ourselves into light beings. And if you ask what is most perplexing to me and what maybe is just leaves me scratching my head, it's like, how come the churches around the world don't teach this? No. How come they don't teach us how to activate these latent capabilities within us? This was the point of the whole early Christian revelation, was how we can turn ourselves into better people, but yet it's not taught. I find that very perplexing.
To the phones we go. First-time caller, Jason in Syracuse, New York. You're up with us. Hey, Jace, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I just had a question. I've never heard anybody talk about the whole biblical part with the whole scientific part before, and it kind of blew my mind listening to this tonight, because some of the stuff he said kind of makes sense to me, because I look into a lot of the universe stuff, because it amazes me since the Hubble's come out, and they've come out with all these pictures of all these faraway galaxies that it's possible that, you know, we're not alone out there, because it's too big. We're not that special. And when he's talking about these wormholes and the whole implication of God, from what I understand is that we're coming up around third quadrant of our third quadrant of our universe, of our solar system. And that's why the Earth is changing the way it's changing, is because we're getting further away from the center of the universe, or the center of our universe. But what was he saying about the energy shooting from the center of the universe? What was that about?
I wasn't right. Sure. There are scientists, for example, Dr. Paul LaViolette is an astrophysicist, for one, who looks to the galactic center as the source of these high-energy cosmic rays that emanate from the center of the galaxy and then are pushed through the sun by these galactic winds, as they're called, and then ultimately manifest on Earth. And it's this school of thought that proposes that the changes in the sun are caused by these high energy rays coming from the center of the galaxy, and as they're pushed through the sun, they are the source of cataclysmic Earth changes in the past, and this is why people are so concerned with what is happening with the sun right now, all the massive changes in this impending, what they call solar max. Our sun has been relatively quiet, but now it's getting ready to go into a super active phase, and it's got everybody from NASA on down trying to figure out how they can cover their assets.
Right, right, right. And that's what I was curious about, because I know I was looking into the subject, and they were talking about how we were coming around the third quarter and it stretches stuff out. And it's curious to me, because, like I said, I'm fascinated by it. And now you were saying something about the threading of the needle. Now you're talking about, like, these beings. You're talking about these scientific beings. They're using wormholes and black holes. holes to travel through the universe. And
that's
this
right.
Is what
my research
is going on?
Yes, what my research has revealed is that when you look at the ancient artwork and literally the texts that go along with it, the ancients were obsessed with transforming themselves into stars or light beings. That's the fundamental premise of ancient Egyptian religion, was that the soul could become a star and travel for eternity on the ships of eternity. And when you compare the way the ancient Egyptians portrayed the ship of eternity, also called the Ark of the Millions of Years, it perfectly matches the way modern science depicts a wormhole. And so when I add two and two together there, I get four, and it says these ancient beings were Stargate traveling time travelers, and they had the secret of transforming the human body into a being of light preparatory to traveling through these stargates and wormholes. And this is what we call in the Christian West the secret of ascension and resurrection. It's all about the same thing.
Well, it's fascinating now where physicists are rapidly beginning to agree that we are in multiverses.
Exactly. We challenged as individuals to wrap our imaginations around that and to begin to align ourselves as galactic beings and as interdimensional beings. And this is the fundamental transformation in consciousness that's happening right now that I believe is the whole underpinnings of 2012. When you look to the media, a friend sent me a link to the, for example, there was the Kia Optima commercial that was shown during the Super Bowl, which showed a car that had been stolen. You had Poseidon coming out of the sea, and then a beam of light coming down from a spaceship, and then ultimately the car goes through a wormhole. We get this imagery now. We understand this. We believe that Stargate travel and time travel is possible, in fact, probable, and that it will be a part of our reality within the next two decades. That's a fundamental transformation in the human species that is, some people just don't fully appreciate the magnitude of what we are discovering and how much it's going to change us. But you know what, George? The more we learn scientifically, the more we find out the ancients actually already knew. And this is why I believe it's so key to go back to these sites and to reconnect with this ancient knowledge, because they possessed keys that modern science does not have. And those keys are always spiritually based. And once we bring the spiritual component into this new physics, that's when the exciting stuff is really going to begin to happen for us.
Okay, let's go west of the Rockies and Gardena, California. Suleiman, you're up with us. Hi, Suleiman.
Hey, how you doing? Blessings to you, both of you, William, and to George. George, before I ask William the question, your location in Hawaii, where you're going to have your new radio station, move it to Kauai or Maui, the eastern portion of the Big Island, will have a major problem probably within the next 13, 14 months. Just want to pass that on to you.
Can't move it yet, but...
Okay, but hey, listen, I want to make sure that you're safe and on the air for a long time.
Thanks, my friend.
Okay, the question I wanted to pass to William is that I thoroughly believe that you're on the right path. Jesus Christ was a light being, and he proved that when he transfigurized himself on the Mount. Number two is that... I wanted to ask you questions about the serpent and the winged serpent. In the UFO books I've read in the past, there were entities on the earth that actually saw that symbol on the clothes that were worn by ETs that made contacts with them. Also, do you believe that the pyramids are contact points or beacons? Three is that I had a vision about 16 years ago that nuclear war was going to manifest itself in the Middle East. And when it happens, I saw the United States, Iran, Israel involved, but when it happens, I was also taken in space and I was looking back at the Earth and I saw thousands and thousands of circular spaceships coming from the middle of the solar system, coming to Earth into the parts that had not been involved in this nuclear missile exchange, saving entities on the Earth. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, but it's a beautiful thought, Suleiman, and I hope that we will be getting, I hope we have intervention before that happens. I can't imagine anything worse than a nuclear exchange in the Middle East, and with these kind of crazy people having their fingers on the triggers here. But thank you for your comment about the winged serpents, and maybe you'll if you're not a co-subscriber, subscribe, because George and I covered this in detail, the meaning of this winged serpent symbolism in a previous interview, and it was a very fascinating conversation. So I'd direct you there or over to my website, williamhenry.net, where I've got an article about that winged serpent symbology and how it transformed in the Judeo-Christian tradition into the seraphim, these highest order of angels who are completely beneficent and are here to help us to transform as a species.
Let's go to Bert, Ormond Beach, Florida, on the wildcard line. Bert, good morning.
Hey, I was wondering if Mr. Henry has heard of the planets that used to be part of our solar system called Maldek and Hedron.
Well, is that the one that's also referred to as Tiamat, in your view?
No. These two planets have been destroyed by nuclear war, and the only evidence left of them is the asteroid belt by Jupiter and the asteroid belt by Mercury. And all these secrets that that these people are trying to keep from us, they are initiates of the mystery schools at Memphis and Luxor. Let me just run a couple of terms by you. Have you ever heard of Sanat Kumara?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know what his Western translation is?
No.
He is the Ancient of Days.
Okay.
One and the same person. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Serapis Bey?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who is he?
Well, Serapis Bey is believed to be a combination of two ancient Egyptian gods, Serapis and Osiris, and was part of the Alexandrian Mystery School around, say, the 2nd century B.C., the 2nd century A.D.
Okay. And what about Fohat?
Not familiar with that term, no.
Okay. Fohat, I had to look up this word in an 1896 Webster's Dictionary. It's the power that's released by the spoken word.
Mm.
Have you ever heard of the science of the spoken word?
Well, sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you like an example of that?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, here it goes. In the name of the living Son of God, Jesus the Christ, in the name I am that I am, Father, Mother, God, Alpha, and Omega, I command and I demand the absolute rescue of my brothers and sisters in Egypt. I command and I demand the strengthening of the spine for them to overcome their oppressors, and I command and I demand the binding and the judgment of the fallen angels by Archangel Michael in the middle of the east, and I command and I demand Earth be free from nuclear war and fear and death and hell in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I hope that works.
I hope so, too. He made a very good point there, George, about the strengthening of the spine. In ancient Egypt, they would refer to that as the raising of the Jed. And at critical times in human history, they would raise this pillar called the Jed, which meant the spine or backbone of Osiris. And what's fascinating about this is that iconographically, symbolically, the Egyptian images of the raising of the Jed match the Mayan descriptions, the Mayan symbols of the raising of the world tree at 2012. So it really is about the raising of the Jed, the raising of the spine, humanity getting a backbone, if you will. And I think this is where George Lucas in the Star Wars trilogy got the term Jedi.
Uh-huh.
The Jedi are the righteous ones who use the power of the Force, the spoken word the gentleman alluded to, for the good of all as opposed to the good of themselves. And so this goes back to what we were saying a moment ago. It really is time for us to get a backbone. It's time for us to raise the Jed, to align with the energies pouring into the earth right now, utilize those energies in a positive way to manifest peace in our world, as opposed to the present instability, because there's no question that we're in the birth canal right now, and what we are experiencing are some birth pains. Some of this has been engineered, but the other aspects of it, as the previous caller said, likely does have to do with our this fundamental shift that's happening in our consciousness, which could be inspired by these energies coming from the center of the galaxy, or the thought that we are entering into a zone of the galaxy where the energy is simply higher. And so the ancient Egyptian answer to this was raise the Jed, strengthen the spine, get your backbone up, behave righteously, speak truth, live in truth, and everything will be just fine.
Text message in from Jerry from California wants to know, William, if you think through the power of our minds, we can beat the Illuminati.
Oh, I have no doubt about that, that it's the power of the mind, but also the power of the heart combined. The mind can be easily manipulated. The heart, we now know, is a much stronger force than the mind. And so it really is a combination of the heart and mind, the left, the right, the male and female within. And again, that's what the ancient Egyptian says would be the key to raising the Jedd. It's about balancing our inner forces and becoming a pillar of strength.
Let's go to New Orleans. It's Natalie's turn. Hi, Nat. Go ahead.
Hey, William. This is Natalie. I just wanted to tell you thank you for speaking to what you're speaking about in your books. I found your books years ago, and I spoke with you on Coast to Coast a long time ago on the air. And I just wanted to say thank you for all the subjects that you are bringing to people.
Thank you
for touching on the subjects that you're speaking about. It's very important. And thank you, and you're one of my favorite authors.
Well, thank you, Natalie. Thank you very much. You're one of my favorite fans.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Simple. Just a nice little congratulatory thank you. That's always nice once in a while.
Very nice.
How is Claire's concussion?
She is much better now. Thank you. There was a couple of scary moments. I've never seen anybody in as much pain as when we were landing in Beirut. I thought, honestly, I didn't know what condition she was going to be in after we came through that, but she is much better now. It took her a couple of days for her eye to kind of calm down, and she's doing so well now. And of course, she always looks at things so positively. She's thinking, well, I must have needed, you know, something to open up in the top of my head. And so she hit her head, and now she's on her way.
Did you have a chance to wander around Beirut, or did you just stay at the airport?
No, we stayed at the airport. I want to go to Lebanon.
Used to be the jewel of the Middle East.
Absolutely. I mean, Baalbek, Lebanon is a place of where that enormous trilithon is. It's believed to be an Anunnaki temple. I'd give anything to get a chance to go there.
All right, next up, let's go to Joe in Orange County, California. I'll get you in here, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hey, how William, too. It's a nice guest, mate.
Yep, good guy.
Yeah, you know, there's an old Buddhist saying, you know, that soul is darkest before the dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very unfortunate, but I mean, I think what you're saying is really incredible because, you know, I think there's going to be a clash of ideologies in the Middle East. It just has to happen, you know. And it's very sad because it's going to, unfortunately, it's going, a lot of people are going to die. You know, but I was curious about something. If you notice that our president, people are looking at him, you know, to wondering, you know, maybe that he had something to do with this. And I remember when he became president, the first thing he did, he went to Cairo for a speech to all the Arab people to say that we don't hate you, you know, we Americans, we will embrace you, we love you, blah blah, you know. And I think they heard that. And I think this is what is happening is you know, also because of that, you know.
Well, it could be, you know, and also they're all oppressed out there, as William has said. He's witnessed this, and they're fighting back, and all they want is freedom. We'll be back in a moment with final phone calls with William Henry. His website, williamhenry.net, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Well, our next Coast to Coast program may bother some of you. We're going to be talking about Satanism, why it's gaining popularity, with an expert, a longtime practitioner of the occult. So that'll be our next Coast to Coast show. What do you know about the changing magnetic poles, William? Do you follow up on that?
I have just begun looking into that. And, you know, of course, this is, I think, going to be the centerpiece here of what people are talking about for 2012, because, going back to Casey, even before that, people have been talking about major pole shift coming that could just devastate everything. So maybe looking at that, George, kind of scary, isn't it?
It is indeed. Let's go to International Line, Carol in London, Ontario. Hi, Carol.
Hello, gentlemen.
Welcome.
I agree that we do need a backbone. you know, we're just too much sheep to do anything about what's going on. I love a good revolution. I called your show the first or second day of the Egypt thing, and I got cut off 5 times. And all I wanted to say when I called was that out of chaos comes the New World Order. Then I heard that in Egypt there was 6,800 Canadians there, and that 800 were leaving, but the other 6,000 were saying no, thank you.
They wanted to stay.
Yes, and then this weekend, they were saying about what that lady was saying about Iran. What happened with Iran?
Mm-hmm.
This weekend here in the two Toronto late night radio shows, they were saying that we Canadians in Toronto were paying for this revolution in Egypt. And we're doing this with the money that was made by the G20 when they were here this summer. They gave the Ontario people a bill of $1 billion for the summit, and that apparently it cost less than $500 million. And just a few days after they left, the Queen was here, you know, they were saying in the two radio late shows that she was here to pick up the rest of the money, and that we are controlling, manipulating, and funding this revolution through the OSC, which is a black ops by the British Crown.
Well, I wouldn't believe any of that. I think that's all hogwash. William, you were there. These were young people, disenfranchised, unhappy.
That's right. I mean, when you looked at the faces, it wasn't the guys in the black beards. It was, which is the Muslim Brotherhood they refer to. These were young people who were just wanting to get together and say, enough is enough. We need Mubarak out of here. We need a new chance. And I you can just start to put any kind of conspiracy theory on top of it that you like. But at the core of it, you've got to get the people into the streets. And in this case, they're the young people. They're inspired by what happened in Tunisia. They're feeling empowered by the internet, and they're using these high-tech tools to do the best they can to change the paradigm in their country.
Let's go to Cyprus, Texas. It's Joseph's turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Joseph.
Sir Henry and Sir Nori, what a glorious morning to share with you guys.
And Sir Joseph joins the crowd.
Yes. I happen to be one of those light workers on the leading edge of conscience. I've got 60 articles at Canada Free Press. I'd like to recommend one of them, Pinata Planet Syndrome. It kind of makes fun of the games that the mega wealthy have been playing on humanity for centuries and millennium. It's a great article. I'm also co-author of a book. I don't know if I'm allowed to plug it, but I wanted to add to a little bit on what you were talking about. Carbon-14 was supposed to be constant. Carbon-14 is generated by neutrinos from the sun impacting nitrogen-14, which creates a carbon isotope. It's no way constant. It's dependent totally on solar neutrinos. But there's a form of life, which is written in an article in the American Society of Microbiology called Oceans of Archaea, A-R-C-H-A-E-A. And these are microorganisms that are very prevalent around underwater thermal vents. If you kill a fresh-killed seal or penguin in Antarctica, they carbon date to 3,000 years old because they're based on a carbon that's elemental carbon. And that elemental carbon is also the feed chain for the abiotic oil. I have another article at Canada Free Press called Fossil Fuel is Nuclear Waste. That article had 11,000 cross-links in one day, and a week later, John McLaughlin, who used to do the McLaughlin Report,
mm-hmm.
wrote an article called Sustainable Oil Production at American Thinker. It's really exciting to share in humanity's awakening, and I have been to Luxor and sailed the Nile and, you know, been from Aswan to Giza, and I've been to Chichen Itza and Stonehenge, and I can feel the vibrations from the human spirit. The book that I wrote has a lot of additional science stuff, and it's written by 8 international scientists.
Well, send us a copy of the book. We won't let you plug it until we read it. You know the game, right, William?
Absolutely. Yeah, sounds very interesting, though. Congratulations.
Let's go next to Claire in Naples, east of the Rockies, Florida. Hi, Claire.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have 2 questions, and I'll just say what they are, and then I'll take your answer off the
phone.
You
got it. Go ahead.
The number one question is, I've heard that only a small amount of the people in Egypt are doing this uprising, and that the majority of the people want the leader to stay and aren't participating in this, and I was just curious about that. And the number two question is, when we're talking about Jesus and everything, I wonder how this, him being a light being and all this, I'm wondering how it ties in where in Christianity, or at least in the Catholic religion, that we believe he is the Son of God in the Trinity, and how that ties into him just being a light being.
Well, not just a light being. I mean, in this text that I cited, the revelation of the Magi, I mean, he is described as the Son of God sent on this mission. And the key thing, again, that dovetails with the research I've been doing is that he, one, manifests as a star child and is called a star child in the text, and also travels through gates, and then further suggests that he's been appearing throughout time and in many different cultures, which opens up to what we were talking about earlier, this American Indian belief and Mormon belief that he even appeared in America as a light being. So it just sort of changes the dynamic of who Jesus was as a cosmic being. On the question about the majority wanting Mubarak to stay,
I don't see that.
I don't either. I mean, just it's anecdotal on my part, but the average person that I talked to in the hotel, the people working in the hotels, everybody we encountered, they're ready for him to go. He's been there long enough. He's finished. He's done his due. Now it's time for him to go. Yeah. And then as I mentioned earlier, when he killed the internet, he killed the vast majority of the support that he might have had with the average Egyptian.
Sure. Because I think he was toast anyway. I think, William.
Yeah.
Let's go next to Nancy in River Pines, California, on the wild card line. Hey, Nance, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I was referring back in the show a bit when he was talking, referring to the love being put into the universe as a shifting. I was wondering if he knew of peoples on the earth that are transmitting such things. They're light and love seeders.
I think I encounter those people all the time at presentations, at events like the Conscious Life Expo this weekend. There are going to be 10,000 people there that I'm sure would count themselves among that group.
Probably. Was there a question there, Nance?
Well, I was just curious if he had known of this. I've been aware of others doing these things, mm-hmm. but I've not met any or anything.
Who are these people?
Well, what my situation is, I've been given a grand gift, and it has to do with all of what's going on with everything. I'm just a vessel. I'm no more than that. I have for years now been out transmitting, it's all about the love. I think I remember hearing one of your guests referring to humans as being, you know, we rolled up on shore with amnesia, and we're still this way, and we think that we understand human nature and such, and we truly don't even know who we are, except for now that people are coming awake, things are actually being seen. I mean, for instance, we rely on everything outside of ourselves, and that is also a product of these things. We've been led for our whole existence here. The bottom line is, what this transmission is simply this. It's all about the love. I welcome others through thought.
You've talked about the consciousness of this, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah, and this is what the people want out there right now, George. They want to know that there are other like-minded sympathetic hearts out there that are uniting, that are all holding this space, raising the Jed, strengthening the spine, doing this work, and recognizing that we all have to be just the ultimate pillar of strength that we can be right now, because it's going to be a rocky ride for the next couple of years.
I was going to say, do you still sense some kind of impending something?
I do. I feel like we are right on the verge of something so enormous that it's beyond our present comprehension. And this is why I feel like you get the marshaling of these forces on the planet that want to keep everybody in fear, in chaos, and locked into basic survival, because you might just miss something beyond our comprehension if you're focused on too much on the fear and the lower aspects of what's happening in our world right now.
Let's go to Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's Eric's turn. Hey, Eric, go ahead.
It's wonderful to talk to both of you. I actually would like both of you to answer this question if there's time. The question is, the ancients say that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I want to know what you guys think the student needs to do to make ready for the teacher.
The main thing, I mean, if we go back to the Eye of the Needle story, the camel has to get down on its knees, take off all of its cargo, and then can go through the Eye of the Needle, which in the story is considered to be the east gate of the Temple of Solomon. And I think that the number one thing that individuals can do to prepare themselves for such an occurrence would be to release as much baggage as you can. Clean out your closets, clean out your heart, let go of emotional and spiritual baggage that you might be dragging around. Try to open up your heart as much as you can. Breathe deeply and breathe from the heart. Speak from the heart as much as you can. My wife Claire says just put your right hand on your heart and just go to that Christed heart, as she refers to it. And that's an easy thing that everybody can do, is just to catch ourselves when we want to go into anger, fear, or doubt, is to just gain a little bit of self-control and recognize that we always have a choice from moment to moment. That's the beginning of the awakening for all of us.
Okay, let's take Brian driving in California, first-time caller. Whereabouts are you, Brian? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just outside Yorba Linda, California.
Sure. Okay,
yeah, anyway, George, good evening. Also, good evening to you, William, a long-time listener here.
Thank you.
I've done a little research, and I've talked about things with a lot of different people, and we had questions about things like the ancient Incas and how they suddenly disappeared. I did a little research into that and found out that they had teachers that taught them how to use vibration, internal with the mind and with the heart, and how they were able to attain a certain level that allowed them to turn into light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they seem to have been able to move, you know, in and out of this world. And, you know, they called it a resonance, which is a vibration. And I believe that has to do with photons, which are just, you know, the microscopic smallest parts of light waves. And there's been research done on the photons where if they're not focused on, they move like or flow like a river. As soon as they're focused on, then they move. And that's just from, you know, human beings focusing on them. And I really believe that there are teachers there, teachers throughout the world now, that will be able to teach us, the average person, how to bring our resonance up to the level of light. And we will be able to move in and out of wormholes, like you were stating earlier, or, you know, different parts of the galaxy through the gates, whatever there is. I that's my take on it from the study I've done.
Yeah, well, I would totally agree with you, and I think that is the fundamental shift that we are all embarking upon right now, and it will become perfectly natural. And what is happening is that we're starting to get the cultural support that says it's okay to communicate with angels, it's okay to see light beings. Science is validating the concept of parallel universes and Stargate and wormhole travel, time travel. It's becoming normal. And as it becomes normal, we're going to start to see a generation. Maybe I'm 48 years old. Maybe it'll be my generation. Maybe I will be able to accomplish this in my lifetime. Maybe it's the kids that are in their teens, younger. Could be maybe the older generation that has access to this because they put themselves in a place where they can receive this. Maybe it'll be everybody. But the point is that we are now experiencing this shift on a day-to-day basis. And the important thing is that the cultural belief is coming in to say, we can do this. And that is the most important energy that we can put into this shift right now is embracing it, that supporting films that show this transformation, supporting authors that describe and discuss this transformation, because what we're all doing really is building that thought field, that morphic field that says this is acceptable to humanity. It's not only acceptable, it's a perfectly natural process. It's our next step. It might feel like a baby step, but it's actually that giant leap that we're all taking right now. And to me, it's tremendously exciting. And I think that's why we're all on the planet right now, is to experience this shift.
Best of times, worst of times, William.
Yep.
Absolutely. Give us your website, sir.
My website is williamhenry.net.
Excellent. And it always handles the massive influx of people.
Yes, it does. And George, before I go, I just have to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that call that you made to us when we were on the bus. When I hung up, I looked back at the 20 people with me, and they were all, their faces just showed just total gratitude to you, and it shifted so much. And they all wanted to thank you personally. They asked me for your email. I said, well, I can't give George's email, but I will thank him personally for you, and I'm wanting to take that opportunity now to do that.
You tell him my pleasure, and I'm glad they all came home safe and sound.
Me too.
I'll see you this weekend.
I look forward to it, George. Thank you so much.
Okay, William Henry is going to be appearing at the Conscious Life Expo. Go and see him. He always puts on just a fantastic presentation. He's one of the good guys. Indeed. And of course, tomorrow, show on Satan. Get ready for that. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Will Wilkerson, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.